Thank you very much, Ms. Piankowska, for keeping spreading the message about that Europe is moving fast, and that I hope many people in the room are now intrigued, surprised what is happening, and looking forward to the cooperation to help protecting Europe as a whole. And there's nothing more to say from my side than welcoming the Secretary General of NATO and give him the floor to give his perspectives on NATO and innovation. Thanks very much.
Good morning. It's great to see you all, and let me start by thanking Germany for hosting our conference this year and for being a major driver in technology and innovation. Let me also thank all of you for being here and for joining us at this NATO Industry Forum, and a very important platform for strengthening the cooperation between NATO, NATO allies, and industry, which is so important for the whole alliance. I would also like to thank Commissioner Elżbieta Binekowska for being here today. I think that's a great example of how we are strengthening the cooperation between the European Union and NATO. The NATO Industry Forum plays a critical role in our long-standing engagement with industry, and it is important that we continue to work hand in hand as we prepare for the future. You are helping NATO to translate our standards and capability targets into practice. Meeting you gives us all a clearer picture of how we can increase our cooperation. This is especially important as NATO continues to adapt to fast changing security challenges. At the Brussels summit in July, we took significant steps to further bolster our deterrence and defense with a new readiness initiative, which we call the 430s. 30 mechanized battalions, 30 air squadrons, and 30 combat vessels ready to use within 30 days or less. And this readiness initiative comes on top of all the other things we have done to increase the readiness of our forces, with tripling the size of the NATO response force, and also by the fact that we, for the first time in our history, we have combat-ready forces, the four battle groups in the three Baltic countries and in Poland, and we've also increased our presence in the southeast of the alliance. So we are now in the midst of the biggest adaptation of the alliance since the end of the Cold War, and working with industry is an important part of that big adaptation. We also decided at the summit in July to adapt our command structure with a new Atlantic command in Norfolk, Virginia, and a new command for support and logistics here in Germany in Ulm. Both commands will help our forces become more mobile, enabling rapid reinforcement across the alliance, ensuring that we have the right forces in the right place at the right time with the right readiness. For our forces to be ready, they must be well trained, but also well equipped. And again, the industry is key to make sure that we have the right equipment. Our biggest exercise since the end of the Cold War, the exercise Trident Juncture, has been taking place in Norway. All 29 allies participated, along with our closest partners, Finland and Sweden. This is a defensive exercise, not directed against any country, but it sends a clear message to any potential adversary that NATO is there to protect and defend all allies, that we have the resolve and the capability to do so, and by doing that, we prevent conflict. Trident Juncture has included around 8,000 German troops, because Germany will lead NATO's response for force next year. And through the Trident Juncture, we were able to test and certify the German troops being the lead troops in the very high readiness joint task force, or the response force of NATO in 2019. And it also included thousands of troops from the United States and Canada, demonstrating the enduring strength of the bond between Europe and North America. Trine juncture was also a showcase of NATO's ability to innovate, from micro drones and robotics to 3D printing. For instance, our commanders noticed that vehicles were breaking down more frequently due to the cold. It was actually not so cold, but it was at least colder than in Brussels. Yeah. It can be colder in Norway, that's what I'm trying to say. So we started to use 3D printing to make spare parts. This could be distributed immediately, avoiding the need to wait for spare parts to arrive from distant supply depot. We also tested one of the smallest drones in the world, a drone which can see in the dark. Many of these technologies are about reacting and responding more quickly, seeing further and detecting threats well in advance. Technologies like these could change the way we protect our troops and conduct our operations. We must continue to ensure that our skills and equipment are second to none. NATO is likely to shape the future of the defense industry in many different ways, but let me mention three. How much allies spend on defense, what we spend on, and how efficiently we spend the money we have. First, how much we spend. As you all most likely know, we made a defense investment pledge at the NATO summit in Wales in 2014. We promised to stop the cuts, gradually increase, and then move towards spending 2% of GDP on defense within a decade. And to be honest, just to be able to stop the cuts was a great promise, because you have to understand that the starting point was that almost all allies had cut defense spending almost every year for many years since the end of the Cold War. At the end of the Cold War, we spent roughly 3% of GDP. That was the normal level of spending across Europe, 3% of GDP on defense. And now we were below 1.5. So, and it is extremely difficult to get political support for spending more on defense, because then you have to spend less on something else. It's easy to be in favor of spending more on something. It's much more difficult than to identify what will get less or to advocate in favor of higher taxes. So actually, just to stop the cuts was really a change. We have delivered, meaning that all allies have stopped the cuts, all allies have increased, and more allies meet the 2% target, and the majority of allies have put forward credible plans to reach 2% within a decade. We also have to remember that we didn't promise 2% next year. We promised within a decade. So I'm not saying that we have delivered everything we shall already, but I'm saying that the whole alliance, all allies, have really turned the corner from reducing defense spending. We have really started to increase the spending. We have made significant steps in the right direction. The picture is still a bit mixed, but at least it is much better than it was just a few years ago. In 2014, it was three allies that met the 2% guideline. Now it's eight allies, and the majority have put forward plans to be there within a decade. So we will continue to address the issue of defense spending. This year, European allies and Canada have boosted their combined defense budgets by 5.2%. And just over the last 2 years, those same countries have spent a cumulative $41 billion US dollars more on defense. We will have the national plans by the end of the year, and the national plans on how to reach the 2% guideline will be discussed by defense ministers next February, so we must keep up the momentum. If all European allies and Canada met the 2% spending guideline, that would mean an extra $100 billion every year for defense across Europe and Canada. That's roughly the equivalent of the combined defense spending of the United Kingdom and France. So we speak about big money, and this is, what should I say, also money that will sooner or later end up, what should I say, in the defense industry. Yeah, at least some of it, not all. Because we have to pay some salaries to the soldiers too, but at least a lot will be spent on equipment and research and development. This will ensure that the alliance remains at the leading edge of military technology in a world which remains competitive and unpredictable. The second way NATO is shaping the future of the defense industry is what we spend the money on, what capabilities we buy, and for what purpose. Allies have committed to invest 20% of all defense spending on major equipment, including related research and development. In fact, this year, NATO allies are expected to spend over $250 billion on major equipment and associated research and development. More than $60 billion will be invested by European allies, which represents an increase of some $10 billion over the last year. And even more is expected in the coming years. To make sure our armed forces have the right quantity, but also the right quality of equipment, we identify priorities for defense across the alliance and provide guidance to nations about where they should direct their investments. This is actually one of the most important things NATO does, and that is we have what we call the defense planning process, where we identify the different capabilities that different allies are supposed to deliver into our collective defense efforts. We need to maintain an advantage in key areas, such as joint intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, the alliance future surveillance and control system that will follow the AWACS, our ballistic missile defense system, and alliance ground surveillance. These projects are funded together, planned jointly, and implemented cooperatively by several or all allies. And they bring together industries from both sides of the Atlantic. We also need to stay on top of the new wave of technology, like artificial intelligence, machine learning, future computing techniques, and big data. This is a great challenge because we are challenged not only by Russia, but not least by China in this domain. As part of our restructured NATO command structure, we are setting up a cyber operations center in Mons in Belgium. But we depend on our industry partners to help to stay ahead. For example, in the cyber domain, we partner closer with industry to enhance our capabilities, so we can respond to increasingly complex cyber attacks. Germany is a good example, with the creation of the Agency for Innovation on Cybersecurity. Let me turn to the third point on how NATO is influencing and shaping the future of defense markets and defense industry. And that is how efficiently we spend our defense dollars, euros, pounds, or krona. Many of you will have heard me say this before, but we must address the fragmentation of our defense industry, especially in Europe. We can and must achieve greater efficiency by working more closely together. For instance, in Europe,
there are 17 different types of main battle tanks. In the United States, there is only one. In Europe, there are 13 different types of air-to-air missile. The United States has 3. And European nations have 29 different types of naval frigate. The United States has 4. This is something I address, but I also appreciate or welcome the fact that European leaders have addressed this again and again, the fragmentation of the European defense industry, difficult and political sensitive, but we need to address the challenge in one way or another. By planning and spending together, we spend smarter. For decades, through the tried and tested NATO defense planning process, we define, as I mentioned, our requirements and set capability targets for individual allies and for NATO. Better coordination of allies' requirements allow us to move forward on key capabilities, like precision-guided munition, strategic airlift, and air-to-air refueling. We also coordinate capability development with the EU. And I welcome the renewed initiative by the EU leaders to strengthen cooperation with industry. This is an important element of the EU's global strategy and the European Defence Action Plan. It is essential that we work together to ensure that this new EU initiative is fully coordinated with NATO, which is one reason I very much welcome the presence once again by Commissioner Binakowska at this forum. Elisabetta, your participation underscores your commitment to transparency and collaboration with NATO. And I appreciate that very much. It's important for NATO and important for the European Union. NATO has a long history of working with industry partners, which is underscored by the fact that the NATO Industrial Advisory Group is celebrating its 50th anniversary. It is essential that we continue to work closely together now and for many decades to come. I put my trust in the knowledge, skills, and ingenuity of our partners in industry and academia. Industry is full of extraordinary people. By harnessing their talents and ideas, by putting the most advanced technologies in the hands of our brave men and women in uniform, and by working effectively and efficiently together, we will continue to defend our countries, uphold our values, and preserve the peace. So I wish you all a successful debate at this forum. Thank you.